Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP. This is Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writer for Cincinnati, Inquirer at Cincinnati.com. Hello.
Hey.
What's going on?
Not much.
Short week.
Short week.
Tight.
Busy. Yeah.
Quick.
It is.
Very quick. So all routines are thrown off this week. Forget it. So with everything I let you know right now, things are going to be different. No deuce this week.
No.
No deuce this week. No BBB2 this week with the Thursday Miami game. It just don't work that way.
Yeah, real hard to pinch that one out. Short amount of time.
It is.
Sorry,
you just
I couldn't do it.
You just can't help yourself. No BBB2 this week. So today in BBP1, BBP regular, BBP original, we're going to try to cover all the bases. And boy, is there a lot to cover.
Yeah.
Bengals lose 29-17 to the defending Super Bowl champs. And Trevor Siemian,
yeah,
a.k.a. Joe Montana, a.k.a. Tom Brady, throws for 312 yards, four touchdowns, no picks, and just torches the Bengals.
Somewhat surprisingly.
Very surprisingly.
Yeah.
I think, you'd kind of felt rumblings a little bit in previous weeks that is this defense okay? But still, you could see some flashes last year. Then all of a sudden, you saw yesterday and said, "Uh-oh,
yeah,
what's going on here?" And the one thing that is supposed to be carrying them through was the reason for their demise. The last couple of weeks, we're going to get into that. I want to get a quick rundown of what we're going to do, so you know, we're gonna talk about sort of we're going to go big picture on this team because apparently judging by Twitter and fan reaction yesterday via email, comments, you name it, people are really, really mad.
Yeah.
They're really mad. C was angry that day, my friends. I mean, it's pretty bad out there. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about these defensive issues, the stem of it, and a rumor that sort of came out of Miami, of all places, today about dissension within the room between coaches and players and stuff like that. So we're going to dive in and address that. Of course, we're going to talk about the return of Vontaze Burfict, and Adam Jones is going to yell at you about it. It's going to be fantastic. So you'll hear from him. You'll hear from Paul Gunther. You'll hear from A.J. Green. All those people, even here from Vontaze himself, we'll get into the effect that these two guys are going to have. I mean, they're like the saviors coming out.
Yeah.
They expect to be the saviors sort of coming out of the sky. You know, the clouds will part and they will come down and all will be well, right?
Yeah.
We'll see on that. Let's start at the beginning. I'm going to start this question, and Jim, you take it from there. Are the Bengals bad?
No.
All right. Well, good night. That
yes,
was great.
No,
I'm glad we did it. I don't think they are either, but I mean, just, they're 1-2. They've looked bad on offense at times, on defense at times.
Right.
There's some issues popping up that we didn't expect. And people are kind of wondering, is it possible this team isn't as good as previous editions?
That's possible. I mean, look, last year they finished 12-4. That's really good. The quarterback doesn't get hurt. That's better than that. So that was a really good team last year. They were not going to be as good this year. They weren't going to be as healthy. They didn't have the same continuity in a lot of ways. and I think, and we both pretty much predicted as such. We feel this is a playoff team, you know. And I think if you look at our season predictions and go back at that, we both had them 1-2 at this point, and having a rough start to the year for a lot of these reasons. And I think not to say that we're fantastic, but we kind of are. Like, we're around the team, and we have said over time, and yes, there's a lot of things to be positive about, and this core is back, and there's pro bowlers and all that stuff, but the things we thought would happen are, you're seeing, you know, a stop and start offense. You're seeing, you know, I think the defense for sure, Paul, and I know we're going to get into this more, is probably the bigger issue, because there was way more continuity there. But I'm not like shocked that this offense isn't rolling out 30 points a game like they did a year ago.
No, that's exactly the reason that we said this team was going to struggle out of the gate.
Right.
You're playing three teams that all won 10 games last year, two of them on the road, the other one is at home against, and they're the defending Super Bowl champs. And turns out the reason that you maybe discredited the defending Super Bowl champs was their quarterback, who maybe he's kind of good.
Yeah.
Maybe he's okay. He certainly, Paul Gunther went all out on making Trevor Siemian beat him yesterday, and he did big time in a huge way.
Right.
And you know, I don't think that's a crazy game plan.
No, I would have done it.
If the Bengals catch a couple of picks that Siemian throws right to him, or do a little bit better job of affecting the quarterback, they didn't pass rush as good well as I think we thought they would. If he does that, maybe we're talking about a completely different right. game, and we're praising Paul Gunther's plan of rattling Trevor Siemian right. and getting him to throw picks to you. Who knows? I mean, that's all not here or there. The bottom line is it backfired. It looked bad.
Yeah, I think when – and we'll get into these specifics here, but I think that general question, are the Bengals bad, that to me means, Paul, the assumption would be either these ascending players that they gave contracts to or and extensions to were wrong decisions, or players in their prime all across the board are suddenly old and no longer in their prime. And I don't – that's to me what a bad team is.
Yeah.
And I don't see that. I mean, I know that there's individual issues here and there, you know, collective issues maybe on the O-line and again on that defensive side of the ball. But overarching, I don't think they're bad through three games. Although Thursday night – is going to be a real, you know, I don't know what. They lose at the Dolphins. Then
possible
it's like,
disaster.
Holy cow. Yeah.
See, yeah, to me, what happened on Sunday was you lost your margin for error in these next couple of games.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't lose to Miami. You can't even lose at Dallas,
right.
in my opinion, because
Tom Brady's waiting for you.
He is. And this season will start after the New England game,
yeah,
in my opinion. I think then you're probably 3-3. Oh, mark it down now. Go ahead. Mark it down. The Bengals will be 3-3 after they play the Patriots.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
They will be and play it back for me, and then the season starts.
Yeah, I think
then
so.
There's no excuses. Then you've had time for everyone to work together. Everything can start working itself out. You've got Eifert. You've got Perfect. You move forward against a portion of the schedule you should make some hay on.
Yes.
In my opinion, that's when the season starts. That's when they need to start making their run. And that's what when we looked at the overarching view of the season in our season preview, that's where we saw the team making its play. And you said, oh, 10, 11 wins. Sure, because the middle of the season, they should start getting it together and roll. And I think that's what they should be counting on at this point.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly right. I think, you know, you're right. The margin of error is gone. Dallas is that game, because they should beat Miami. Miami's not good. Miami needed the Browns to just brown all over themselves.
Oh, it was so brown.
You know, so and Miami has some good players. They're kind of coming together a little bit, and there's, you know, it's an NFL team that are not the Browns, and should...
it's an NFL team that is not the Browns.
What that means?
That means they could win.
That means they have some things that they can do that could, you know, cause problems. Sorry, Hugh. I love Hugh. Hugh was great.
Hugh today having to come out and make an
actual public statement after his week three game to assure everyone they are not tanking. I know it looks like we're not trying to win, but I'm telling you right now, we are not tanking. The fact that a coach has to say that tells you everything you need to know about the state of football in Cleveland right now.
Right. So, I mean, that, and then 10 days to prepare for Dallas. You know, and Dallas, hey, look, their rookie quarterback is playing really well. You know, they've got some talent down there as well on the road. But, you know, you're right, Paul. I can see 3-3. I think that's the benefit of the doubt that Marvin Lewis and this veteran team has earned, in my opinion. I mean, 50-plus wins and playoffs and a group of guys who know how to win regular season games, you know. That to me gives them time. I mean, 1-3, the math is way better. I don't know what the heck's going on today. We're just like
We're getting all choked up.
1-3 is not good. 1-4 is season ending, almost.
So
they need to have that cushion going.
This team has been in way worse spots in recent years where they've made the playoffs and been hot,
2-5,
playing well
right?
at the end. It's 3-5.
Yeah.
Which is the last time that they were under 500 was that 2012 season. They were 3-5, and they lost to Peyton Manning and the Broncos to go to 3-5, and then came back the next week, beat the holy hell out of the then-defending Super Bowl champ Giants, and got on a roll and won 7 of their last 8.
Right.
And that started the run that they've been on really till now. And that's the last time that they really had the lack of true continuity coming back. Let's jump into this. Because we mentioned, you know, the defense is supposed to be the group that is holding this team together, and they just put all their money, and they put so much time and everything into bringing that defense back that set the franchise record for fewest points last year. But you had all new coaches to the coaching staff. A story that we wrote about quite a bit during the offseason,
right?
But we haven't really circled back on this year. And you really haven't needed to until now when you start saying, why are they getting torched over the top? Why is this all this miscommunication?
Right.
Why, you know, because that's what it was. I mean, it wasn't – everyone once pointed the DBs. Adam Jones kind of went off on this yesterday as well, saying, it's not the DBs. If people don't blitz when they're supposed to blitz, it leaves people in unfortunate situations. That's what happened on the deep ball to Demaryius Thomas. They put the game away. Sean Williams, Marcus Hunt, and Carlos Dansby, three guys playing major snaps for the first time, all decided to stand in one, like, 2x2 foot box on the field and not do anything.
Yeah, that was
they didn't
so,
blitz.
It
they
was
all
like,
ran
like
into each
a
other.
Man glitch.
Yeah, well, it was. And so what happens? You have, well, they had that little corner of the field, though, was really covered. Don't worry about that.
If you're too bad the ball went over Chris Lewis.
They were trying to throw a screen to that spot. It was taken care of. But what wasn't was the one-on-one ball to Demaryius Thomas on Chris Lewis Harris.
Right.
You can't play more into an advantage Broncos than that, and it's game ball game. And so you say, well, Chris Lewis Harris stinks. Eh, that's unfair. Demaryius Thomas makes $60 million, okay? And he had pretty decent coverage on him, actually.
Yeah.
But that is a play where Simeon is not supposed to be able to drop back and just sit back and say, ooh, there's the throw that I want to make.
Right.
It's a blitz. But when you don't blitz on the blitz, that's bad news.
Yeah.
And so stuff like that is happening. And so now the question becomes why, and you can very much go back to you've got a lot of new coaches, Paul Gunther trying to get through to new coaches how this game is supposed to work. And those coaches trying to get through to these players, how this game's supposed to work. All people that have not done this in the past, and I think that's starting to show up.
Yeah, it's especially Paul, because this year, you know, Paul Gunther last year preached a lot about, hey, we want to get guys snaps, we want to work on rotations and do these things. Well, we're seeing it this year. Marcus Hunt has seen his snap count up to 42 last week.
He's basically Wallace Gilberry.
Right. I mean,
has taken the Wallace Gilberry role almost. 100%.
Exactly. Will Clark has seen his snap count rise in the last couple weeks. Teron Smith and Josh Shaw were rolled out into much different looking packages against the Broncos. Especially as the Broncos were driving, you saw a lot of, I mean, Nick Vigil would roll in for a red zone play, which, yes, Nick Vigil got five snaps, but when that rookie is in on goal line, that's a big deal. So, you're right, Paul. It was interesting to see all of that sort of happening and then the result not being there.
Yeah. So a report comes out of Miami today from Adam Beasley. What newspaper is he with?
Miami Herald.
With the Herald, yeah. Okay, so Adam Beasley with the Miami Herald comes out and basically says Kevin Coyle, who was fired as defensive coordinator last year of the Dolphins, replaced by Vance Joseph, ironically, is already at odds with his current group of defensive backs, right? That's the story to come out. Well, so what do you make of that? It's kind of odd stuff coming out of Miami, but I think it comes back to what we're talking about. And so I kind of approached Paul Gunther in a roundabout way about that topic, about coaches adjusting to players. And everyone's real happy. It's all rainbows and unicorns and gold bars.
Right.
And in the off season, oh, we love our new coach. He's great. Well, that's because there's nothing to lose. There's nothing on the line. There's no failure. There's no discipline of a player. There's no telling someone they screwed up and they cost us. It's because then that player comes back and says, no, you screwed up. You're teaching it wrong. Whatever, right? You don't really learn about these relationships and these new coaches until you play the games. And I think there are growing pains there. And Paul Gunther admitted as much, and I thought very interestingly slipped in, I was telling Marvin Lewis about that.
Right.
It sounds like the two of them had a little bit of a heart-to-heart about what's going on with all this implementation. So I want to bring you a little bit of the conversation sort of on all of this bit of topics that I had and amongst a couple other reporters with Paul Gunther on Monday. So here's that.
How have you felt through 3 weeks, your new staff? You had all these new coaches. We made a lot about it now, but with three games, you kind of had some time to see how that's gelled. How have you felt about
that? It's a process, you know, when you have three brand new coaches, really, it's a process going through each game where, you know, something, I may talk to a player about something that happened 2 years ago or in week two of 2015, and the coach really doesn't have that experience with the group. So, you know, you try to keep them up to speed, get them up to speed as quick as possible. We used to do this, we used to do that. And, you know, that's takes some time. It took me some time in 2014 with the three new guys that I brought in. So, you know, it takes some time.
Is there some of that just the same way as it is between you and a coach as it is between coaches and players? Because in the off season, it's all fun. Everyone says, okay, we're learning each other, but you don't really learn until you go through the game you're going to interact with players,
yeah,
right?
And it'll get better every week. Like I said, the information, you know, the information I'm trying to get on game day, the information I'm trying to get to the players, they're trying to get to the players. So as time goes on, you get a better feel for how everybody's thinking and you know, so they can – you know, they can help out in the whole process of everything. So that takes time as you go through these games.
Can that be part of some of the issues you've had with past and stuff like in defense in general? I mean, the last first couple of weeks
it's a mixture of things. You know, we got a lot of new players too. I mean, you look out in the field yesterday, you know, Chris Lewis, you had Deron Smith, you know, Marcus is really playing a lot more. Will Clark's playing a lot more. You got Carlos Dansby, Darquez Denard. You got a lot of new guys out there, you know, from just a year ago that are really playing, you know, Josh Shaw playing significant snaps for us. So.
That last blitz, the one of the 55-yarder, mm-hmm. looked like it's did you think there was some confusion on that blitz?
It was a little bit of, yeah, we were just, yeah. So
because it looked like it was set up, but some guys backed up and mm-hmm. some guys went, mm-hmm. and it looked like maybe – you know, it didn't look like that.
Yeah, it's just something we have to clean up.
It did look like a typical crisp double A game, you guys are used mm-hmm. to doing. You mm-hmm. know, so I, like you said, I don't know. I think Dansby was it on that. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, something we addressed today, and we got it cleaned up. So hopefully it won't happen again.
Well, that's part of the thing about having new personnel.
Yes, I mean, it is. So that's what, you know, I was telling Marvin, that's just a lot of guys. There's a lot of new guys that haven't been through, you know, the – same thing the coaches did. They're going through the battle of those things and understanding, oh, this adjustment happens quick. Boom, boom, we got to make the adjustment, and boom. So, you know, those guys just, each and every game, as they get more experience in there, hopefully, you know, we'll get better.
What do you make of all that?
Well, one, I think it makes sense. Look, you know, in terms of the stuff coming out of Miami, that also makes sense. Kevin Coyle, you know, got his shot as a defensive coordinator, as Vance Joseph is, as you said. And that was a failed regime in Miami. You know, they lost. He was fired for a reason, as was Bill Lazor. You know, I mean, when teams don't win, things go bad. And so, and that's one of those things, Paul. I've been around enough locker rooms. I covered a 12-win NBA team. Like, this stuff happens when you lose.
Yes.
So I take it with a grain of salt in terms of the reports out of Miami. So that is what – you know what I mean? And then in terms of what Paul Gunther said, again, to what we were talking about, it makes sense. I mean, there's familiarity with Kevin Coyle, you know, but he hasn't been here in 4 years. Adam Jones, I think, is really the only guy he's gotten a relationship with. 2011 – So, I mean, this is a whole new secondary group. He even said that, I think, in the preseason when we asked about, like, Darquez Dennard and Dre Kirkpatrick. What do you think about these cover corners? Well, I don't know. I gotta learn about them. So, you know, and you're right, Paul. Like, I think you kind of illustrated to the listeners a little bit how it goes. Like, Paul Gunther isn't, like, talking to every guy on the defense. And, I mean, that's just not how it works.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a communication line, and you're right, when adjustments need to be made and when stuff goes bad and when Paul, like, it's got to go down the chain.
Yep, it does. And so you end up, you said it perfectly. This is what happens when you lose, and we quite honestly have not seen this team lose early in seasons since 2012. I mean, they have started hot. It's the first time they had won six consecutive September home games. They haven't. This is the worst start they've had since 2011,
right.
Dalton and Green's rookie year when they started 1-2. So this team has started well, and you know had their issues pop up late in the season for the most part, and in the playoffs, obviously. In the last 3 years, this is the first time we've seen this kind of slow start. This is how most teams start.
Yeah,
this is how like 90% of the league goes early in the year. You've got a bit of dissension as everyone's trying to figure out how it all works, because most teams flip their roster over a whole lot every year. The Bengals don't,
but they flip their coaching staff over.
They flip their coaching staff, and they had new depth pieces because free agency did a lot to him this year for the first time in a long, really since the reboot.
Yeah.
So that's part. This is how the league operates. Now, the Bengals have to make up for that, but you know, they got some of their toughest opponents out of the way, and they're going to have to hope they get it all together and roll from here.
The interesting thing, Paul, I think Marvin Lewis was asked about an identity for this team or for the offense, and he kind of pulled it back and said, no, identity for the team. We need to, and he kind of said, we don't have that yet. And A.J. Green said that Sunday night where he's like, well, as an offense, we don't know what we are just yet. And I think, which is different for this squad. And I think, honestly, Paul, this goes back to how we started this BBP, where I think everyone thought the identity is defense. Mm-hmm. And we kind of figure out the other part.
Defense and running game, right?
Yeah.
And we finally see some semblance of the running game on Sunday. 4-1 drive.
Yeah. Andrew Whitworth was excited. I mean, he said, this is the first time we really, like, put our hand in the ground and committed to it, and it worked.
Witt has been saying that since I can remember, and it was never been louder than after they lost the 2013 playoff game to San Diego, throwing it 50-some times. And Witt basically said after that, San Diego came in here and did exactly what we should have been doing, which is running the football a bunch and taking it down their throats. And ever since then, I think there's been a thought around here that this is what this team's identity is. This is how they win. We have gotten ourselves into trouble when we've tried to be anything else but that.
Right.
And I think you might be seeing that showing back up again because you got a new coordinator with his own theory on that theory.
So again, it's disconcerting, and it's, I think, as a fan base, for sure, 1-2, it's weird. You know, Bengals fans, wow, they're not 2-1, 3-0. Can you believe it? You know, but you're right, Paul. These are issues that a lot of teams deal with, they just haven't dealt with it here.
If they are, you say, if they're 1-3, hit the panic button. For now, I don't. I think the panic button is at a safe distance.
Yeah,
you located it. You got your eyes on a swivel.
Yeah, you're like, well, what's that thing over there?
You're like, okay, I better find out where that is in case I need it.
Right.
So you're like, all right, there it is. It's over there in the corner. But you're not moving towards it. You just looked at it. I know where it is if I need it. If you lose to Miami, you're reaching for it and you're pushing the button.
Yeah.
However, you're right now just aware of it. That's all. You mentioned AJ Green. I thought this was an interesting conversation you had with him after the game. Some of the stuff we've heard him say really for the first time, and it speaks to that identity, where the identity of this team is not running the game. The identity of this team is on offense is 14-18.
Yeah.
It's Dalton to Green more so than anything, and he basically openly admitted that and talked about how he's been failing them in the last two games. I mean, you can't live up to what he did week one.
Right.
But I think the thought was they needed him to live up to what he did week one for this team to beat some of these top teams right now, and it hasn't happened. So I just want to bring in that conversation of you talking with AJ Green on Sunday after the loss to the Broncos.
I just got to be more focused. Like I said, it starts with me. This offense got to run through me, and you know, I let my team down there, and you know, I let myself down. You know, I pride myself being one of the best, and they didn't show up today.
Guys have gotten off to great starts the last several years. Early gut check in week four against Miami coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, it's good that we can get back in play back on Thursday. Try to get this feeling out of us. Especially me, I'm ready to get back to practice after you know my performance today. Not my best. Definitely need to clean up some stuff. Can't have a drop like that. Like I said, this offense run through me. I got to do better.
Appreciate the time.
Yeah.
How personal do you take moments like that, AJ?
It's going to bother me all year, man. I pride myself. I don't like dropping balls, but I know it's going to happen. But I can't drop a ball like that in a crucial moment like that. I just can't. You know, like I said, this offense starts with me. When I'm making plays and everything else falls in place, and today I didn't do that. I let my team down on a missed call that I thought was a run. I missed that one, and then turn it on the next play, I drop it. So that's two mental errors on me that I got to clean up.
How concerning is a 1-2 start for a team that's used to starting off so well?
It's tough, man. Like I said, but this team is, you know, we got heart. We know it's the NFL. It's going to be a tough grind, like I said, but we got to continue to get better.
Obviously, you're talking a lot about the drop, but a game is more than just one play. You said concern last week about in Pittsburgh about chemistry on offense. Can you put a finger on why things weren't clicking again today?
Yeah, man. Like, we still got a lot of stuff to clean up. We're still trying to find ourselves. Like on the first drive, we had everything going. We got to be more consistent. It's not about chemistry. We just got to be more consistent. And that started with me.
Sorry, you couldn't hear you. You mentioned you thought something was a run play. Was that the back shoulder throw?
No. It was the right before the drop.
Oh, okay.
Right before the drop. So.
Was that a, I guess on that throw on the sideline, you were pretty animated. Did you think you got hooked there a little bit on that sideline throw?
No, not like I said. Oh, okay. We were just not on the same page. Just not on the same page.
I was going to say, you know, early red zone issues, touchdowns early, run game got going. What was working early and then what changed maybe in the second half?
We were running the ball pretty well. Like I said, we still we just got to be more consistent. Like I said, that starts with me. I can't have that big drop. Can't miss a pass play that's probably coming to me and then turn it on and drop a third down that clearly was a first down. Like I said, I pride myself on being one of the best and being there when my team needs me, and definitely wasn't today.
All right, so there's some of AJ Green. So we now flip forward and talk about the Bengals playing the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Week four is finally here.
Yeah.
And that means Vontaze Burfict is back. And so here we go with this storyline. Remember last year when this team was just living the good life?
Yeah, they were
6-0. Everybody was hugging everybody, talking about how great they were. Didn't even have Vontaze Burfict. He comes back against Pittsburgh, and they win. Raymond Luka got hurt. He ended up playing way more snaps than he thought he was going to. But regardless, then all of a sudden, just stuff started happening. Like a camera guy got his camera thrown over and his nose busted. You know, you had – You had like the fighting stuff. Yeah. There was all kinds of trash talk. You had fines, and then it led to where you ended up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen now? A, it's not he. They're not coming into a nice situation, and
right.
The first time there's this kind of looking to Vontaze and Tyler Eifert in the same respect as coming in as the saviors. Come save us. Come save us.
Yeah.
Oh, come save us, please. We're struggling. But as soon as Vontaze gets here, everything will be all right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of a bit of a vibe going on right now. And to give you a reason why I think that's kind of a bit of a vibe, here's Adam Jones answering my question after the game about being excited about Vontaze Burfict coming back.
Imagine you're excited to get Tez back. Obviously, he shows back.
Hell yeah! Can't wait to 55 get here.
It's been a while.
I don't give a damn who don't like it either.
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to get here. I'll be calling him right now when I walk out of here.
Yeah. You're allowed to do that now, right?
Yeah, we like to talk. Well, we've been talking anyway.
Well, I think you're actually allowed to talk. I think you're just not supposed to talk football or whatever.
Right. But we talk. Trust me.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! I mean, when you hear, I mean, that's I think Adam says it louder than anyone because that's his the way he is. That is the feeling I think of a lot of people around this building right now is hell yeah, we're all fixed now. That's a thing that would make me nervous as a coach. This idea of, well, Vontaze will come here and fix everything.
Yeah. It is interesting, Paul, because I asked a couple guys on Monday, like, hey, you know, is it unfair that, you know, I tried to put it on us as media types or fans being like, hey, like, you know, that this one guy out of the 14 to 15 that are consistently playing, like this one dude's going to come in and make all y'all better. And there's a lot of, there's all pros, there's pro bowlers on this defense. And they're like, no. They legitimately feel that he is that good. And they look to, they point to the one pro bowl he went to. They point to the
level he played at last year.
Yeah. And the level he played at last year. And they acknowledge some of the numbers. Hey, we were better statistically in some ways with him. And they do mention that edge is a positive. And who knows, Paul? I don't know. I mean, you know, George Iloka has had a couple sort of borderline type hits in the first 3 weeks where you're like, wow, that surprised there wasn't a flag there, or surprised there wasn't a fine later. But really, you know, going back to what we were saying, what is the identity of this team? And it's not been the defense. They haven't been stopping people. Carlos Dunlap, I think, maybe said it best, where he's like, it's difference-making plays. And Carlos flat out said, he's like, that guy, paraphrasing, that guy makes those plays.
He does.
So in their mind, and maybe that's as simple as coming up with an interception or making a third and one, the dude doesn't get 2 yards like they did again, like a couple of those run plays that Denver got.
Yeah.
So, you know, for them, it's he is that guy. So maybe, you know.
I have said it on this podcast and written it a million times. Go back and look at the last 4 games of last year and find me a single defensive player that was more impactful than Vontaze Burfict in 4 games.
Which is amazing because it's not like he came in and had like the Von Miller 5 sacks and you know what I mean? Like there's
he found himself around the ball. He would have a forced fumble.
Right.
He'd have an interception. He was just always right there. He would he'd have a tackle for loss.
Right.
Or look at the playoff game where he did literally everything.
Yeah. That's one of the best.
Until the end.
Yeah.
It's one of the best individual, you're going to say,
One
of the best individual games I've ever seen a defensive player play.
Yeah.
It's a shame it ended the way it did because it changed the storyline from the coming out party. We've talked about that before. But, you know, savior, no, but the reality is, when you take 55 and 85 and you put them into this mix, those are, let's add it up. I would say 2 of the 5 most important players to this team winning games. Yes. Two of the top five.
Yeah.
Two of the top five of a 53 man. If you were ranking 1 through 53, 55 and 85 would both be in your top five. They're both Pro Bowlers.
Well, right. And
possibly
like,
all pros.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. And Tyler Eifert, and just briefly on him, because it really hasn't changed in a week. Like Marvin Lewis had said last week, look, if he can play 12 plays, he's going to play 12 plays. Tyler Eifert doesn't need to be able to go a full game for Marvin Lewis to activate him. I think they're 2-1 if 85 was available for 12 plays, because I think they'd beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, he is indefensible. A healthy Tyler Eifert within 20 yards cannot be.
And he changes everything because you cannot do what teams are doing right now, and that's putting everything in front of AJ Green.
Right.
I mean, they are putting press with a safety directly over top of AJ Green every single time. And that just means Andy Dalton looks over and he throws to Tyler Eifert right over past the ear hole of a linebacker
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. So I think, you know, so it does feel like that in a lot of ways because they're just really, really good players. And I think obviously this team had hoped to be 2-1 or 3-0, whatever it may be, because there's other really good players. But it goes to show you, and you see this around the league, there's a level. There's all pro, there's Pro Bowl, there's starter. And then there's, like, the other dudes.
Jags.
Right. And it's just and here's a trickle-down effect, actually, with Vontaze. And this is we won't really get into it, but that will push Vinny Ray, his snap count down a little bit, I think, which may mean him make him more available to Darren Simmons' crew.
Yep.
And that special teams group has been struggling a little bit with a lot of his new pieces.
Yep.
And don't think for a second Cedric Pierman isn't missed or Vinny Ray is missed in coverage. So, I mean, so there's a chain reaction there a little bit with Tez, you know, if Vinny Ray is able to help back out on special teams.
Yeah. They're game changers. My gut says, we'll know more. Probably by the time you're listening to this, you can go to Cincinnati.com and probably read more specifically about how this goes. It's going to go. It'll be a game time decision with Tyler Eifert, and my gut says he comes out and plays 10 to 15 plays all in the red zone. I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
I think he plays, and then I think he's pretty close to full go, maybe a 50-50 split with Tyler Kroft in Dallas. And by the time they go to New England, he plays every play that a tight end's on the field.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're at with it, assuming he has no setbacks.
Right.
And I think that's how they envision it going, in my opinion. And just educated guess on talking to people and watching and seeing tradition around here.
Right.
So I think that's where we're at with it for all those. For those that are wanting to know for fantasy purposes, there you go. But for the Bengals' purposes, it's an absolute game changer. Let's go to the lighter side. People are a little frustrated, a little agitated. I sent out for the Monday emojis, and most of them came back with lots of poop. I just asked for the shout out. Give me your Monday emojis, and I saw a whole lot of poop emojis. Some fire.
Yeah.
One actually had two fire emojis with a dog in the middle. We don't need to burn puppies.
No.
I feel like that's a little extreme. I was hoping it was about the Browns, but I can't be sure.
Right.
Someone just like, screw it, burn all the dogs. I'm just mad. Let's all relax.
Yeah.
Let's all relax. Well, so some people are mad for their reasons. Jim, let's cue the music and find out why Jim's mad. Why are you mad, son?
This is going to offend your sensibilities.
Go ahead.
I'm mad at hair.
Oh, come on.
Growing too fast.
It's hair. Why is hair doing this?
Man,
growing too fast.
I like to have the close cut.
But you can't keep up with it.
And I can't keep up with it. I don't know if it's winter time and it's like, man, your head's got to be warm. I had a Bengals staffer be like, hey, look, I thought I saw your video on Sunday night and I thought you needed a Ryan Hewitt hair tie. It was just growing too fast. I don't mean to be offensive to
no, that's
those who don't have that issue, but, you know, I'm mad at hair. It was bothering me.
I'm mad at you. I don't understand it. You know what I would give to be able to have, like, 5 o'clock shadow on my forehead? You know what I would give to be able to grow hair on the top. try having to shine up in the mornings, all right? And not know, I'll have hair tomorrow. Why you got to be like that?
I know. I knew.
That is such a low blow. You knew exactly what you were doing.
But it bothered me. I got mad about it.
Yeah, well, it bothers me. Now it's bothering me. All right. I'm moving on. I want to go to the Swedish Minute.
Yeah.
Swedish Minute is back. Thanks to one of our loyal Swedes. I think he was the first Swedish emailer, Håkan Bäverstrand.
Yeah.
A true Swede. I'm like, we've had the French come in and like be like fake Swedes. You know, Denmark shouted us out. They're crying in Peru. I don't know why. They're not happy. But he shouts us out. So for our Swedish Minute, we're going to answer his questions. He says, how concerned, if at all, should we be of the 1-2 start, and especially regarding our corners moving forward? And then he goes, should I regret the tickets to the Wembley game I just bought earlier today? No, that game's going to be fun regardless. Even if they're 1-5, I think you'll still enjoy seeing them live for the first time. Let's go to the corners question. So the Adam Jones Father Time thing showed up on my timeline a couple of times. People say, Adam Jones stinks. Wasted money, right? He did not play that play well.
No.
But I can count 2 to 3 bad plays he had last year, like where he looked bad.
Yeah.
They don't come very often. Guys are going to get beat when they play corner. You hope it doesn't happen. Right. It's going to happen occasionally. Now, the Broncos were pretty brazen about the fact, talking about after game, how they saw Pac-Man Jones. He'll get beat on double moves, so their whole game plan was to double move him.
Yeah.
And it worked. The second time was against Chris Lewis Harris because Pac-Man had gone off with a little injury literally the play before. And they called the double move to try to take it on Pac-Man, but they ended up taking it on Chris Lewis Harris. I'm not buying any Father Time stuff on Adam Jones just yet.
No, but I mean, he played. Look, Antonio Brown was non-existent. Now, Grant Sean Williams
and
helped
Marshall
out a little bit.
And Marshall and Decker were taken out.
Yeah, so I, you know, it's the closest analogy to a baseball closer that you'll find. You know, when that guy has a bad day, everybody sees it, and it likely costs you a game.
Yep.
So you know, and look. I think if you loop it into a fumble on special teams and, you know, right after or literally right before he, you know, and just a bad day overall. And again, when I mean, those are difference makers. And he said so. He admitted as much. Look, the double move thing, it's interesting, Paul. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas make a lot of money. And maybe they saw something. Maybe they thought, look, Jones and Kirkpatrick or Adam especially is gonna jump on that because they thought Trevor Siemian's out there for taking. Trevor Siemian had not really thrown passes in the air over 20 yards through 2 weeks.
No.
So, you know, maybe it was a calculated play. Like, hey, we'll do this double move. It's what we've been doing for 2 weeks or all through, you know.
They won't see it coming and Pac-Man's susceptible.
And he's gonna, and we know Adam will kind of bite because we've already set this up.
Yep.
You know, I'd be curious to see if you were to fast forward this for 13 weeks, 14 weeks, and it was like a first round matchup. I highly doubt Adam Jones would be biting on double moves.
Yeah.
Again.
There was a lot of cushion out there.
There was.
And I think that surprised me a little bit.
A lot of single high safety, though.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of 8 in the box.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the game.
Yeah, exactly.
The game plan was CJ
so you
Anderson
couldn't,
is not going to beat us. It's going to be Trevor Siemian having to go over the top of us.
Right.
Which he hadn't done at that point. And what happened, he did. He went over the top of him. He made a lot of nice throws, and that's kind of what Paul Gunther said on Monday was he made a lot of nice throws. It's sort of a tip your hat to a guy that we didn't think could do that.
Right.
I think he got caught. Slept on him a little bit and didn't realize that Trevor Siemian could actually pull it off. And, hey, more power to you. You got to have calculated risks that you take, I think, and he took the wrong one. As I wrote on Monday, scrap that.
Yeah.
that's enough. Those the Bengals had too many problems where they were not able to handle that game plan.
No,
execution wise,
right?
You need to go stop doing that. But I, you know, I think that's part of what happened. I don't necessarily blame the corners. I will say this: with what you've seen with Darquez, with injury issue, and what you've seen with Drake Kirkpatrick with up and down,
yeah,
he had a bad missed tackle,
yeah,
the other day. And he's had injury issues too. He's right. Always kind of come up lame. And you know, Adam, we talked about. I think you're okay with him, but Josh Shaw's played pretty well. But he's gotten guys get they just seem to be getting dinged up out there. My gut says it would be a long shot for them to pick Cedric Pierman over William Jackson down the road.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where they're going to look at it and say, "Look, William can help us on special teams as a gunner." He won't be as good as said, but, you know.
But he can play, defense.
Right.
We may need him.
Right.
Because if guys start having seasons where it goes downhill a little bit.
Yeah, we're 4 weeks away from that, essentially. Or week eight. Yeah, week eight.
After week eight, he's eligible. I don't know if he'd be ready.
Right.
We would see. It depends on how he's feeling, whatever. But
right.
Anyway, I just worth a thought just kind of putting that in the back of the mind for something that's coming down the road. Oh, it's so jaggy. I don't even want to talk about it. The Jags are so going to screw me this year again. What is wrong with me? So now they're 0-3. They choke it away against Baltimore. It was 19-17. Justin Tucker hits a 54-yarder with 1 minute left because the Jags are so jaggy. Gus Bradley's so terrible. Now they're so gonna. They're 0-3. It's 8 wins is over.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget
it's gonna be tough.
This team is not going 8-5 to close the year.
Yeah,
they're awful. They've played bad teams so far.
Yeah, that's,
and they can't win.
Yeah,
and Gus Bradley's gonna get fired. And I'm gonna be buying so much. Seriously, I need to like invest in the precinct at this point in order to hedge my bets. I just need to like get some stock with Jeff Ruby.
Yeah. See, last year I went out looking around and I went to antique shops. I got you a Steve Berline starting lineup.
It still sits on my office desk.
And that didn't work for you.
No, it doesn't. It's bad luck.
I really don't know. Like a Natron. Didn't Natron Means play for them way back then? He just gives you a Natron Means Jags jersey.
He was
jersey.
San Diego way back
then.
Yeah,
yeah.
He might have had like a towards the end, yeah.
You know, I don't know. What kind of talisman do you need?
Don't get me a damn jersey. I'm not wearing a Jags jersey. I don't need anything.
Over at the. You don't need anything?
I need a bag on my head. Jags bag.
No, that's tweets.
I need a Jags bag.
No. The Browns have that. Tweets from a bag.
Tweets from a bag. That's true. That's
hey,
true.
They might have a really good appetizer.
They,
I don't know, man. That's so jaggy.
It really is. It really is. All right. Well, so that's where that bet's in. It's a bad place. But luckily the Browns are so bad.
It's a good place for all of us who are not participating.
This is true. Luckily, the Browns are so bad that there's no way they're winning 5 games this year.
No.
Oh. We just know that they're not tanking, supposedly. Oh, Cody Kessler. My favorite is reading The Plain Dealer. If you read, I was going through it just to find a link today. And it's like, it was genuine excitement. Like, hey, the Browns lost, but they weren't terrible.
Yeah.
They weren't terrible. Terrell Pryor threw 5 passes.
What does that say about the Dolphins?
They've got to be bad, right? You can't lose this
it's
game.
One of the worst defenses.
We might have to do an emergency podcast on Friday if the Bengals lose.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how we're gonna see what happens on Thursday. We'll probably get back to you to come back in our normal time slot next week, maybe a little earlier if we can. But – yeah, if they lose, we might have to call an emergency pod just so people don't kill themselves this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, ooh, a Thursday, what if a bad Thursday night L, people will be coming out, they'll be all drunk.
Yeah.
They'll be all pissed off. They'll be calling for heads to roll.
Yeah.
We'll have to go therapy couch on Friday if that happens. All right, I'll say it right now. I'll put it down. If the Bengals lose, we'll do an emergency podcast on Friday. Otherwise, early next week. We're gonna take a weekend off. All right. So you heard it here. You heard it here first. That's where we're at with the podcast. All right. Let's get out of here. First primetime game. Lights night.
I was thinking Kanye West, All of the Lights. Kind of upbeat. Kind of.
Are we trying to be upbeat? Positive?
I don't know.
All right. I like.
Well, it's not always. I mean, not all parts of that song are really happy. So, I mean, you know.
That's true.
It'll get you nodding your head a little bit. I'm
surprised you even tolerate anything that has some good parts to it.
Kanye works.
Yeah, all right. So let's do that. Let's do Kanye West, All the Lights for our Thursday night. The Color Rush.
Yeah. Oh.
I saw a lot of Color Rush jerseys. People were out buying those babies.
Yeah.
They like them. Yeah. I kind of like them.
Yeah.
I think they're cool.
Yeah, the more I thought about it, the less impressed I've been.
Yeah.
Because it's like they went white on white, and they got orange. Like, there's just no orange. I don't know.
There's orange around.
No, but I mean, it's like what they wore in Pittsburgh. They've got white on white already. I'm not.
You just can't like a thing.
No, I can't.
Like, you just like a thing. Like, oh, good job, you know? No, you just can't.
You know, maybe so next good. Week I'll hate on the Color Rush. What made you mad? Color Rush.
Color Rush.
Mad.
Well, no. You know what you're going to hate next week? You're going to hate tall people. I hate people that are tall.
That's not true.
I mean, it's basically what you said today. It's a personal attack. That's all it was. All right. Yeah, Kanye West. Here you go. Get me out of here before I say something I'm going to regret. All right. So, Kanye West, we will talk to you next week. Again, no Deuce this week. So only time you will hear from us again this week would be if they lose, and we'll sit you down on the therapy couch and get you through this together. All right, we'll talk to you later.
That bread, she need a daddy. Baby, please, can't let her go.